guy who I have golfed with, who I guess is he's going to be in an area of the world where he could golf, although I don't think he's going to have time to golf, headed to San Diego tomorrow for the Major League Baseball winter meetings. Mike Wilner joins me on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ben.
You're lucky.
You are correct. I will not have time to golf at the winter meetings.
You're a lucky guy, though. You get to go to San Diego.
Yeah,
we're all envious.
I'll get outside, so that'll be nice. And a couple of years ago, I went to the meetings in Nashville.
Yeah.
And did not leave the hotel for 5 days.
Literally didn't leave.
Literally did not leave. I mean, we at one point, it just got to be so much that we decided we have to get out of here, and we walked across the parking lot to go get some food. But other than that, did not leave the hotel the entire 5 days.
Alex Anthopoulos says that the winter meetings are not that conducive to getting stuff done, too, right?
He says that they're not as conducive as they used to be because of technology now. You don't need to get everybody together in one place to make things happen. Everyone's in constant communication with each other all the time. It used to be that, even as recently as like 5 or 6 years ago, you would have someone in your suite at the meeting sitting by the phone the whole time just in case it rang to set up meetings, whatever, and now people are texting, and I don't know why they didn't 5 or 6 years ago, but I guess they just caught up. And they do spend a lot of their time hiding at the meetings. But every agent is there, and every agent is there and really, really hustling to get as many meetings as possible and to get as many of his guys signed and create bidding wars and all of that stuff. And, you know, there are specific meetings, so they're spending time together, and when they're spending time together, they're talking, and things happen. And, the reliever market is just waiting to take off, I think, and that's the market that the Blue Jays are shopping in right now.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec, but I haven't heard your thoughts on the Michael Saunders deal. Just been reading your tweets. I don't think we've talked about it, but... what are your overall thoughts of Saunders? I mean, he's a guy who, as much as Seattle depresses the offense, he's put up an OPS plus, which is 100 is league average. He's gone over 100 in three straight years. Now, he only played 78 games last year, but he was pretty good offensive player in those 78 before he got hurt. What are your thoughts on him as your everyday left fielder?
I think he's a good upside candidate. He's someone who's moving into his prime and who... like you said, is the last 3 years has been a really good hitter. I mean, I remember him at the World Baseball Classic, and obviously it's a huge small sample size alert. It was only three games, but he hit 727, and I think he had four extra base hits in three games. And that was, not necessarily against the best players in the world because Canada played Italy in one of those games, Mexico in another, but it was him kind of showing, I can do this with the big boys. And that's what people have always thought about Michael Saunders. This is a guy with a ton of talent, and the sky's the limit for him. And if he can stay healthy and get in a good hitting environment, then all that stuff could happen. And that's what hopefully the Blue Jays are getting, a guy that we know we're getting him in a good hitting environment. What we don't know is whether he's going to stay healthy or not. But this is where you have to kind of take a piece here to give a piece there. And you're getting an everyday player, you hope, for your fifth starter. So that's a trade you have to make. Whether the Blue Jays kicked in cash or not, and they're saying that they did in Seattle, but nobody from the Blue Jays side will say, you're still getting a guy for a lot less than Melky Cabrera, who you would have had to commit a lot of years to and would... not have been a favorable contract the last couple of years of that deal, I don't think. And when you look at it, too, and Melky was lovely. He was. And he had a terrific year for the Blue Jays. He had an 808 OPS at Rogers Center, or playing his home games at Rogers Center last year. Saunders had a 791 OPS playing his home games at Safeco Field. So they were pretty close to being the same hitter. Melky hit for a higher average. And got on base more, and Saunders slugged better. But there's not a lot of difference there, and if Saunders is healthy, he's got a chance to be better. The biggest part of it, though, I think, is that you're looking to replace Melky with a bottom-of-the-order hitter, or at least someone who doesn't have to hit in the top of the order. Saunders could hit his way there, But for now, he only has to hit seventh for this team because of the acquisitions of Russ Martin and Josh Donaldson. And so the Blue Jays save enough money in the difference between what they're going to pay Saunders and what they would have to pay Melky to pick up a couple of relievers and maybe a second baseman as well. And like I said when this offseason started, you know, they're better using that Melky money, spreading it around, filling a few different holes than just giving it all to one guy.
What about the concept of him playing every day? And Alex Anthopoulos, I don't know, it was surprising to me that he just kind of handed him the job, seemingly, in that conference call. And things can change, I know, yep. But he really hasn't hit lefties in his career, Mike. He's got an on-base of .279 against lefties in over 600 plate appearances, does Michael Saunders. You've got Kevin Pillar there, who is going to be your fourth outfielder, I guess. Why wouldn't a straight-up platoon in left field work?
It would. It might. But Alex thinks that Saunders can hit lefties, and I think that last year, I believe he was okay against lefties. I can't remember whether it was weighted runs created or OPS plus or something where he was very close to average. So maybe it's in there that he can do it, and I don't think there's going to be an especially long leash. If he can't, then Kevin Pillar is there. If Pillar's on the team, I mean, they signed Ezekiel Carrera, too, and he may well be the fourth outfielder because of the speed and the defense, though Pillar also provides speed and defense. I think Carrera gives him a little bit more. But I don't know. I do think that they're going to give him a shot, and like we've seen with Adam Lind, you know, they gave him a shot to hit lefties a few years in a row. And we're more than willing to pull the plug on it when it wasn't working.
How much of the defense plays into this, Mike? Because I keep going back to the difference between the Orioles starters and the Blue Jays starters from 2014 was almost entirely defense. I mean, their xFIPs were nearly identical, but their ERAs were about a run apart. All came down to defense. A lot of it infield defense, granted. J.J. Hardy over Jose Reyes, and you had Jonathan Scope there at second base, and yes, Blue Jays missed Brett Laurie a whole bunch at third base, but they had pretty good outfield defense in Baltimore as well. And it looks like, at least to start the season, the Blue Jays will have improved left field and center field defense as well, because Colby Rasmus, I mean, I know defense isn't supposed to slump. I didn't think he was that great defensively last year.
No, I think he did slump defensively last year, which yep. is weird. Because the more we learn about it, I guess the more we see that these sorts of things can happen. Which it's tough to imagine defense and speed slumping. But,
yeah,
but it can. But yeah, defense does have a lot to do with this. I mean, Melky Cabrera is an okay defensive left fielder, nothing special, and Michael Saunders is a very good defensive left fielder. Melky was probably not going to age terribly well when you look at you just look at the body. And Melky at 31 is a little bit older than a lot of other guys at 30 or 31. So this Saunders is an excellent defensive left fielder, and they're going to get a big boost there. And with Pompey in center, or even if it has to be Pillar or Carrera, regardless, you're going to have an excellent defensive center fielder no matter which way you go. And Jose Bautista is fine and right. He makes up for the lack of range with the arm and by being smart. This is going to give the defense a boost, and hopefully, you know, the greater willingness to give Jose Reyes a breather is going to give the defense a boost as well. It'll keep him sharper and all of that stuff, and even having Justin Smoak at first as opposed to Edwin or Adam Lind is going to give the defense a boost. So hopefully this is going to be a much better defensive club next year.
Offensively, though, Mike, you stack this team 1-9 against the 1-9 when healthy of 2014, which is better? Still last year, isn't it?
You know what?
I'm against righties.
That, and I'm not sure.
Against righties, because you can throw Adam Lind in there.
Yeah, and Adam Lind is pretty significantly huge against right-handed pitching. But now you've got, you've got Donaldson and Russ Martin instead of Laurie. Donaldson over Laurie is, like, crazy good.
Well, I still feel like we don't know what Laurie is, though.
Well, we know what he was in 2013, right? And that's what
in a very small sample size, yeah.
Well, and in 2012,
a guy that hit for a...
and in 2011, we know what Brett Laurie was. And what Brett Laurie was about a 700 OPS guy. And I agree with you. We don't know what he is yet. He's 25, and the sky's the limit with him offensively, too. But if you're comparing last year's lineup to this year's lineup, you're looking at last year's Laurie.
Yeah.
So, you know, 1 through 6, I will say that this team is as good as, it's better than it was. And it's good as any. 7, 8, 9 are the question marks.
Yep.
And I think Saunders 7. I'm fine with Saunders hitting 7. I'm fine with Smoke hitting 6th actually as well. I think Justin Smoke's going to hit 30 homers, maybe more.
Yikes!
You know, getting out of Seattle is going to be huge. He hit 20 homers there a year, 2 years ago.
We have totally different projections on Justin Smoke.
Yeah, and a lot of people do, and I think it's unfortunate that you know, a lot of people tend to look at a year, a terrible year, and write a guy off where, you know, you look at his age, you look at what he's done in the past, and you look at what he came up as and who people thought he was going to be. I don't think he's going to hit 300 with 30 or 35 home runs and a 400 on base or anything like that, but I think he's going to be a very, very nice power bat from the left side in that lineup. Probably wind up platooning with Danny Valencia, which will help them out as
You're going to hit 30 home runs as a platoon?
Well, he's gonna get 450 at bats, I would imagine.
Wow. Okay. So all right. So let's say that if it's a wash maybe offensively between this Blue Jays team and the team from 2014, a team that went 83-79, finished 13 games out of first place. Would you say that the rotation is better? Maybe.
I think the rotation is better, having Stroman in it all year, having Aaron Sanchez in it. And you know, Jay Happ was fine, but you got a chance to be a lot better than fine now at the bottom of that rotation. So, yeah, I think the rotation's better.
Okay, slightly.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
so,
see what happens.
Yeah, who knows what the bullpen is going to be right now. But you're talking about... I don't know. I just look at the moves, and I it's hard to argue with any of them. I just the needs that this team had going into this offseason are still the needs of this team, and it's the bullpen, and I guess it's not left field because you're going to go with Michael Saunders in left, and you had pretty good production in left field last year, so that's a step back as much as you want to be bullish on Michael Saunders. Second base is still a big
17
issue.
17 points in OPS, a step back. And
he only played 78 games last year.
Yeah, he only played 78 games, but he still had he played 130 each of the 2 years before that. And last year, he had a weighted runs created plus higher than Melky's. So it's not necessarily as much of a step back as you'd like to present it. And if you're writing Smoke off of one bad year, you should be writing on Michael Saunders off of one good one or something.
I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying it's a huge step back, but I would say it is a step back in left field.
It's debatable.
Oh, okay. You won't even go there.
Look at the numbers. It's right. Debatable.
Okay, so the bullpen. Things are starting to happen now with Andrew Miller headed to the New York Yankees. David Robertson's still out there, but it seems like Alex Anthopoulos, after the comments he's made to MLB Network Radio, he's not going to blow his brains out grabbing
on
a reliever.
Yeah,
he's not going to get a big-name, high-priced reliever, which makes sense because, I mean, Steve Delabar was an all-star a year ago, and he was in AAA last year. That's what happens to bullpen arms, especially if you've only done it 1 year like Andrew Miller has. So what does that mean for this bullpen? Is it a guy like a Rafael Soriano? Do you need a name like that? What do you think the Blue Jays do here?
I don't know. I mean, I think they can afford to sit and wait because there might wind up being, you know, like a couple of years ago where Francisco Rodriguez was still sitting around in February without a team to report to, and he wound up going to Milwaukee, I think, and he didn't sign for that much and had a good year, and now he's reestablished. That's going to happen again to somebody. And maybe a few somebodies, and the Blue Jays can afford to wait and pounce, or they can kind of, you know, target the guys they want and go after them soon, but I don't know if that's the right strategy. There are often good relief pitchers who fall through the cracks, and it's honestly never a good idea to spend big money on relief pitching, which is why I'm you know so confused that the Houston Astros, who are painting themselves as just such this forward-thinking organization and smarter than everybody else and all of this stuff, and they use the analytics and the new metrics, and they offered Andrew Miller 4 years and $40 million, and I don't understand that one bit, and they're probably going to make the same offer to David Robertson. I think that there's enough out there. You know, there's Soriano, there's K-Rod, there's Sergio Romo, Jason Grilli, and then you move to the next tier, and you have these high upside, high risk guys like Jason Mott, Tim Stauffer, Mike Adams, Nick Massett, guys like that, that you can build yourself a pretty good bullpen just sitting and waiting to see who's left standing when the music stops.
Is Casey Jansen, is it fait accompli that he does not return to the Blue Jays?
I don't think so. I mean, he's talked to a few people. A few people have reached out to him from Toronto, and he's given hints that that he would be willing to come back. And, you know, it depends on the money, very obviously. It depends on what the market tells Casey, because, he and the Blue Jays were extraordinarily far apart when they talked in mid-season about possibly coming back. And, you know, the Jays were here, and Casey was way over there, and I don't know how much that will affect this, but I think it may well be the same situation as the Blue Jays said to Melky at the beginning of the offseason. Look, we don't think you're worth nearly as much as you think you're worth, and we don't think... I'm sure they said it much more nicely than this. We don't think the market thinks you're worth nearly what you think you're worth. So go out and get your best deal and come back to us and let us know what it is. I do think that when you look at all that relief pitching, you know, three bad outings in the second half of 2014 aside, Casey Jansen's the best reliever out there, track record-wise in the last 3 years. So I would love to see them bring him back, and I really do think it's up to him and it's up to the market.
So bullpen is one of the issues. Talking to Mike Wilner, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. Second base is still an issue, despite the adding of Devin Travis. And I'm sure Alex Anthopoulos isn't, you know, it's not the end of the world if they have to go to war on opening day with Meiser Asturias and Josh Steve Tolleson, and then maybe, you know, Ryan Goins somewhere and Devin Travis somewhere as well. But if he can make an addition and make an improvement, he will do that. Jed Lowry's an improvement, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking about that yesterday on the that round table that we did on the Blair Show with Shy and Ben Nicholson Smith.
Yeah, I can still smell you guys in here.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's mostly Blair. Lowry would be perfect. He really would. He would be perfect. And perfect in that he's not going to cost you too much. He's not going to require a long multi-year contract. He can back up Jose Reyes at shortstop if need be. He can play second and hit eighth for you and be a plus player in that spot in the lineup. There really is nothing not to like about a potential acquisition of Jed Lowry. They can afford it. He doesn't cost you a draft pick. You can get him and still pick up three bullpen arms with the money you've got. They're really, I mean, that's, for me, right now, that's the perfect fit. Then you go in to the season with zero dead spots in your lineup. You got Dalton Pompey. You don't know what he's going to do, but you know he's got a good approach, and you know he's going to make some contact, and you know, you hope that he's going to have an OPS over 600, which is what you're really hoping you can get from Ryan Goins. So I really do think that, yeah, they need to address the bullpen, but it's not like they've been doing things in order at all this offseason, and it's not like they haven't been going for upgrades at positions where they think they might be okay. I'm all for a Jed Lowry signing.
So the trading of J-Hap also means, and Alex pretty much said this everywhere I've seen, that the trading of R.A. Dickey is just, it's out of the question now. He's got to eat up those innings.
Well, he'd said that before, too. But, yeah, I don't think he was ever going to trade R.A. Dickey. And I think people are making way too big a deal of Josh Tolley costing them a roster spot as Dickey's caddy. I don't think it's, you know, I think that first of all, there are no good backup catchers in the major leagues. That's A. Two, Russ Martin is going to try to catch Dickey, and Russ Martin is a very, very good catcher, so he may be able to do it. But even if you have to carry Tolley, it's not the end of the world. And the more Tolley has faced pitchers over the course of his career, the better he's done. So, I think there's way too much angst about that.
Last thing before we let you go, Deonner Navarro, we haven't heard much as far. Well, first of all, I guess we don't ever hear anything as far as trade speculation before it happens. But who needs a catcher? I'm trying to think. I mean, you don't want to trade in your division. Maybe, and I'm sure the Red Sox are happy with Christian Vasquez, and Yankees have a catcher. Who needs a catcher, Mike?
Lots of guys need catchers, and the Dodgers need a catcher. The Cubs need a catcher.
No, they have AJ Ellis. He's good.
Yeah, okay, they would like a different catcher. Let's say that. The Cubs could use a catcher. The Rockies could use a catcher. There are a lot of teams that need catchers, and I do think that I think it's pointless to try to figure out who Deonner Navarro is going to get traded to because, it's the Blue Jays. Did anybody think they were going to send Jay Happ to Seattle? We all knew they were going to trade Happ. I don't think anybody thought it would be to Seattle. I continue to think that Navarro is worth more to the Blue Jays in trade than he is on the roster, and I think that they're going to move him.
Well, what if, though, I mean, you talk about no good backup catchers. I mean, he would be a good one.
Yeah, but it's $5 million. It could be much better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Michael, get ready. Pack your bags. No swimsuit needed, I guess, if you're going to spend every waking moment in the hotel.
Yeah, no swimsuit, no golf clubs, no nothing. Hopefully.
No nothing. Well, you're going to wear some clothes.
There will be clothes, yes.
Okay.
Shy, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Barry Davis, and I are going to be doing a video blog at the end of every day from the winter meetings, and I'm hoping that that's going to be shot on a beach somewhere. That would be good.
Oh, that would be good. There's going to be some great conversations between all y'all. You're going to have some great times, I imagine. Enjoy, Michael.
Thank you.